Episode 24 of Nick and Matt's Infinite Shitlist. I am Matt.
I'm Nick.
And with us today,
James Dean.
James motherfucking Dean. The Sausage King.
Sausage King.
Did you know that James Dean, the actor, is from Indiana? You
know? I did know that, actually. Yeah.
I bet you know a lot of shit like that. Against your will.
Not as much as I should, but yeah. I still have people that come up to me and go, you know you're named after a movie star? Like, no, after 26 years. No one has ever told me that. Thank you.
Are you actually named after him, or is it just a family name?
My grandpa's name was James, and so the James Dean just kind of... I was named after him, and it kind of just came out. It's worked great.
So your grandfather was James Dean?
Yes, was James Dean. So, I don't know.
Your grandfather was a handsome man.
Yeah. Good-looking fellow.
So it's a good thing that he got that seed out before he died so young in that car wreck.
That's true. He actually took the seed from his dead body out.
Excellent. He scraped it off of the Porsche.
Well, he was a well-known homosexual. We couldn't have kids, so we had to... We could have kids,
but... Yeah, he wouldn't like it. It'd have been icky.
He wouldn't like it.
Kids are icky.
Cooties involved.
Yes, exactly. All right, and so, James, you and I have never... We've met once briefly.
I don't know where.
We don't really know. Probably on the road somewhere. Yeah. You probably paths crossed... you know, Motel 6, the lights are low, what happens. No kids, though.
Man on man.
Yeah.
It's the safest sex.
But you are all right, we're already doing great here, like 2 minutes into the podcast. But no, you're a front of house sound guy and tour manager for bands and stuff. Uh-huh. And so who are some of the people that you've worked with?
I started out with a band called Tickle Me Pink. I worked for a band called Mies. I work for a band called Ha Ha Tonka. I still work for. I'm with a band you guys might know called Murder by Death.
Boo.
Yeah. I mean, it's sad. Oh, God. I can't stand it. Adam. Let's not even talk about it. But, and then I just started working for a band called Matt and Kim, which I actually stage manage.
Okay. So that's good. And so as the stage manager for Matt and Kim, what does that entail?
For them, it's like I have to do their in-ear monitors too. We kind of have a set and forget board you just set up, but it's more just like they got a lot of lighting and stuff. And like I learned to do backline tech. Like I can tune drums now, which is nice. I can tune an analog keyboard.
Damn.
Yeah.
I didn't even know.
It's
that
not that hard. You just plug a tuner in like a car, turn it on.
Okay. Wow. We were both about to be amazed.
Yeah. We're like, holy shit. You have to like open it up and fuck with the circuits.
But no, it's my first tour bus tour. I've never been on a tour bus, and until I worked for Matt and Kim, and I got on the bus.
You got on the bus?
With the one. Big Willie or
William Pebble.
William Pebble. Yes.
The fine, upstanding gentleman that he is.
He's the glue that binds all three of us together. And we'll probably be giving him a call later on during the show without him knowing about
it
in advance. Okay. So your first bus tour, was it exactly like the Home Sweet Home video for Motley Crue? Is that?
Very much.
That's my only knowledge.
Mixed that with like the Pantera videos, and that was pretty much exactly. Life on the Road with Matt.
With Matt and Kim are exactly like Me on the Road Pantera.
Yeah.
Hey guys, exactly. I think we're forgetting a key thing right now.
Yeah.
We don't have any drinks yet.
We don't.
We went 3.5 minutes of podcasting without booze.
It might be a new world record.
It's a world record, I think. So I was gonna do these halfway through, but I think we should just start.
Okay.
With the fine.
Do we have a 2-part drinking challenge?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, this is just a little something that I picked up at the at the register.
It is little.
It's a it's a little shot, a little nipper. it's called Kinky Liqueur.
Yes.
And it is a naughty fusion of super premium vodka distilled 5 times with succulent mango. Blood orange liqueur and passion fruit. It sounds horrible.
It is also like it's like the exact same pink that they use for plastic pink flamingos.
Yeah,
like exactly, it's a pink actually. That doesn't actually exist in nature. The fact that I think they just melted those down, and this is what we're about to drink.
Yeah, we're drinking melted pink plink.
All right. All right. These little twisty caps always give me. These are little airplane bottles.
Yeah.
For people that are wondering.
So. Yeah, well, let's just down it.
Let's get kinky. Dude.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah,
all right. Wow. That is awful.
That's it pours so slow out of there that you have to taste it.
It does. I have to say, it's like, I don't think it's passion fruit as much as, like, it's a crime of passion fruit.
Yeah. All of a sudden, I hear Barry White in my ears.
Yeah.
Nick, you're looking a little cuter, my friend.
Well, you know. All that time on the road together.
All right. I will say, though, it's 34 proof, so not bad.
Yeah. It was basically just like vodka with a bunch of sugar and food coloring.
Yeah.
All right, so what we're really going to drink the remainder of the time.
By the way, I can't wait for my wife to come home and see these three empty kinky liqueurs. And what's great is she's
you
be
should
like,
just be laying on the bed with her shirt off, yeah. like rubbing your nipples slowly. You
know, she's just going to be like, oh, Nick was over, right?
So this might be a little too good, but they were so sexy looking. With the kinky liqueur, it's called Steinlager,
mm-hmm.
and it's New Zealand beer.
Wow, party. That sounds fancy.
But yeah, look at the.
This is such a turnaround from yesterday's episode that I did with Alex Mann, where we drank Natty Daddy.
Yeah, I saw that in there. I was actually looking at the shitty beer, and like I was just like, "There's nothing here that we haven't drank already. Yeah. I don't know what to get." And then I turned and looked in the nicer beer side, and I saw these very. Sleek cans.
Yeah, they're very European.
They look like, the cans look almost exactly like, remember Amp? Like energy drink?
Yeah, they kind of do.
It's like a tall Amp.
So there's two for each of us.
All right.
Fantastic.
Very good. And so, yeah,
They're so cool looking.
They are.
I was just like, fuck it. I'm
gonna... It says pure on it.
Yeah, what Stein, is that Steinlager pure.
It says right here, it's unrivaled purity, discovered only in New Zealand. So I'm assuming that this is the official drink of Lord of the Rings.
Oh, right here. You are holding in your hand one of the purest beers we can make. No additives.
I mean, that they can make. This is fucking as good as we can do.
This is it.
All sourced from the purest place on earth, New Zealand. Apparently New Zealand is terribly pure.
Yeah.
I did not know. Have you been there?
I've never done Australia or New Zealand. I'm really sad about that.
All right, here it is.
Cheers.
Bam.
Taste the purity.
Ben Stein's lager.
It's pretty solid beer.
That's fine.
It's a beer. That's for sure.
That's sort of a German kind of beer taste.
The Stein lager name.
Yeah. It's fine. Good job, New Zealand.
All right.
So now that we opened our first beer, there's something that I really want to bring up to
the
viewers here that happened on this. Me and Nick just got back from a run. About 10 days to Canada.
Yeah.
And something happened that it was a first time for this happening, which I don't believe is a first time happening.
Yeah.
But for the first time ever in the history of time, Nick was offered money by a woman
to strip. That's true.
Yeah.
She made it rain on me.
Literally made it rain. I think Loonies? It was ones. It was probably $10 worth. Of
no, it was a U.S.
Oh, it was
a
worth of throwing coins at you. Because
she might have been telling you to stop.
Exactly. She was trying to get you away from her. She was throwing coins.
Yeah. When you called me for the podcast with Alex and you were asking about any like sort of sexy times.
Yeah. So
this was actually what I was going to bring up.
All right. So where in the States is it on the border? Is that border town?
It was Richmond, Virginia.
Oh, okay.
Not quite. It was early. It was early on.
I have a feeling that at the end of the story, I'm going to find out it's my ex-girlfriend, Erin, who's from Richmond.
It was not. This girl's name was Sharon.
Okay.
Not Erin. Right. Sharon.
She was
nuts.
Okay,
yeah. So basically, I put the tip cup out, and I had a little, like, you know, message that I put, you know, with the tip cup to try and, you know, entice people.
And what does that message say?
My message was, tips earn you high fives and sexy times. All right. And so people would, you know, come up and see it and laugh, and they'd be like, oh, what are these sexy times? And I was, you know, they're anything that you want. What do you want them to be? It depends on how much money you give me. So basically she was like, I want you to strip, and I will make it rain on you. And I was like, done. Okay. So she stood up on the merch table above me, and, like, pulled out all these singles, and I start, like, dancing and undoing the shirt, and she just starts, like, making it rain on me, fucking dollar bills falling down.
How naked did you get?
I just took the shirt off.
Yeah.
There's a foggy picture somewhere of making it rain on you.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
I have it. Actually, it's on my phone.
And it's
foggy. I gave it to him.
Because of the heat that he was, like, putting off.
I was moving. She's actually in pretty decent focus, but the lighting was not good, so you can't. It's
your first time dancing, and you're already critiquing the lighting. Next time it's got to be different.
Yeah.
3 points.
So, we always talk on the show about going to strip clubs and then me dating strippers and things like that, which I've never done, but I want to do.
Now you just
for 3
yourself.
Months, but now I'm the stripper.
Yeah. And so how much money did you make from the stripping?
She gave me $10.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
And did anything happen with this lady afterwards?
Because it seems like
that's a pretty good end.
Yeah, so this is... Yeah, no, it was... I did touch her boobs and she kissed me.
All
right.
In that order?
I think so, actually. But she also told me she wanted me and Adam to Eiffel Tower her.
Yep. There's a picture. I think it's a picture of Adam, kind of like she like suckered Adam.
Yeah, into, like, she really like yeah. Picture. Adam was sort of standing somewhere, mm-hmm. and she just sort of like got like posed off to the side, and yeah. then like just backed her ass right into Adam's crotch as her friend took a picture, and Adam's just standing there like, yeah.
like oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. So really, like, she was just like, you were just the way into the Adam. That's why she was...
Yeah, I think, thinking. Yeah. Well, she did say she wanted me and Adam to, like, yeah. she was like, I want you both. I was like,
yikes.
I was like, okay, that's... Yeah. I mean, she was pretty hot, but she was clearly nuts.
So you're like, Adam, I know you're married and everything, but dude, help me out. Help me out, dude.
Yeah,
you can have your pick
of the front half of it. And
yeah.
Just,
yeah. Just close your eyes.
I think she had a couple.
She must.
Of kinky,
she must
right?
have drank all of the kinky. Yeah.
Wow, that's where you touched your boob.
Yeah. But well, she basically wanted me to touch her boob. She was just like, she had great, awesome boobs, and I think her girlfriend like grabbed her boob and she was like, "Come on," and I was like, "Okay, I will take a squeeze."
She was clearly in command. That story reminds me of two amazing stories. The first about her, like, sort of photo bombing Adam, like, without him, like, just kind of at the last second throwing her pussy up against his head or whatever. You've heard the story that Steven, local proprietor of the Bishop here, local bar, about the drunk sorority girls that came in one time?
I don't think I've heard
they
this.
They come in, they're just cackling, they're, like, laughing like crazy, and it's not even, it's, like, maybe, like, 8. It's pretty early pretty still. Early,
yeah.
And he's like, so what's so funny? And the girl's like, check it out! And it's a photo... They had just walked by John Mellencamp, and he was still with Elaine Irwin at this time.
Uh-huh.
And they were sitting outside, eating outside of, like, farm or whatever. And apparently the sorority girl's like, oh, my God, John Mellencamp, can I have my photo taken with you? And he's like, no, absolutely not. I'm eating dinner with my wife. And she's like, okay. And then she just sits down on his lap and takes her own photo. Like, that's like, wow. And so the photo, Steven says, is the most amazing photo. Because she's, like, drunk, like, woo! And Mellencamp looks like he's about to stab the shit out of this fucking girl. He's just like, what the fuck? But see, that I like that because that kind of explains, like, he's notoriously a prick.
Yeah.
And then you know why. It's like, yeah. That shit happened to you all the time. You'd be like, no,
oh, yeah,
I fucking...
sorority girl sat on my lap while I was eating dinner. Oh, terrible. Yeah, no. Please, yeah. No, I'd be such a jerk. Oh,
stop
gosh.
It, hot 20-year-old. Get away from me.
Why are you doing this?
But do you think this drunk sorority girl was as hot as his wife at the time, Elaine Irwin, supermodel?
Probably not.
Probably
no.
not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he traded that in for the used up, like haggard Meg Ryan.
Wow.
Yeah.
She looks
yeah.
like shit.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah. She does not look so good these days.
Is she a listener to the show? You should.
We talk about them a lot. Actually, okay. talk about the two of them a lot on the show.
Sure.
They come up.
The other story though, like talking about merch table shenanigans and clever signs is. My favorite was there was a tour with Murder by Death when I was TMing, and our friend Ben Bustle was out doing merch, and his sign was face punch insurance $1, and he had someone actually buy it one time, and he like drew out this like little contract saying that he would like
not punch.
And
that sounds like a Bustle.
Yeah, and yeah. then a week or two later, someone else is like, face punch insurance, I'm not gonna buy that, and fucking Ben just punched the kid,
wow.
And the kid's like, fair enough, and gave him $1. He's just like.
I like how surly Ben
yeah.
would get.
He, like, yeah. he didn't like clock the kid, but it was like, I think it might have been open-handed.
It just like slapped
didn't
him.
Didn't even hesitate. It's like, all right, this is what happens when you
don't. Well, you know what? If you put that sign out there, you got to follow through.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
You have to be prepared to hit someone.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just like I had to be prepared for sexy times.
And you
sexy
were.
Sexy times. And you were.
Yeah.
You came through.
Is that the only sexy times that you had?
There was a lot of like... There was a lot of hugging out of that. You know, girls would be like, oh, give me a hug. And I'd be like, okay,
is that
whatever.
Really sexy
you know,
times? Is
you know,
times,
I mean.
That's like grandma time.
Them, them pressing their breasts against
wow.
me, I guess. You know,
so it's like, been a while. It's like, that's counting as sexy times. You're like, no, and then they touched me.
A woman touched me. That's all that I needed.
Well, I guess that answers my next
there
question.
Were a lot of dudes making jokes about, like, well, what about us? And it was just like, ugh. Well. Actually, I ended up putting a little asterisk next to it and then put, like, subject to restrictions down at the bottom.
That's good.
Which basically just meant no dudes.
No dudes.
And so yeah. you've always wanted to date... What's this a stripper thing? You've always wanted to date a
for
stripper?
For 3 months.
Yeah?
Just long... The way I've always explained yeah. it. Just long enough to, like, get into that weird, crazy world yeah. that they have... That they live in. And sort of, like, it'll be funny and seedy. And yeah. then get the fuck out of there before they, like, you know, I knock them up and they move into my house and steal my stuff.
I've actually been to...
And I don't even have that much stuff.
Here? Night Moves?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been to there once with the one William Pebbles.
Yeah. If Will Pebbles in town, there is no option. You go to Night Moves.
Yeah, we walked there from Russian Recording after a show, and we closed the place down. And at the end of the night, Will wanted to buy me one last lap dance. He brings a girl over, and I want to buy him a lap dance, my buddy here. And then he looks over me and goes, can I borrow $3? It was $3 short of a lap dance at the end of the night. So I bummed him the $3. He told the girl that I liked it rough. And I walked home with many scratches on my back. $3 less in my pocket.
Worth it.
Worth every dime. It was fantastic.
That's like classic Will.
Right? Yeah. Like, Night Moves, though.
He likes people. It rough.
Yeah.
Well, that's like the time that we all went, and there was a dancer there who was sort of stalking Matt Armstrong. Like, was obsessed with him.
She lived in the dorms with us back in the day.
And so he was immediately like, oh, fuck. And of course, as soon as we find out what the deal is, we all pitch in our own money and get like multiple lap dances
from her.
From her for him. And he's just like, the look on his face, he's like, it was the most like, fuck you guys. I've ever seen like a guy just like.
We look over at the couches and she's like, got her back to him and like, you know, grinding her ass on him. And he's just like shaking his head and like furious at us. And then we just send her right back over there.
One more. Come on. I dated a stripper for almost 3 weeks.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know for the first 2 weeks that she was a stripper, though. It came as a later, I don't know, interesting factor.
Yeah.
What were the clues? You just thought she,
you were like, man,
boobs.
You have.
Let me start there.
Okay, huge
fake
actually,
boobs. Not the only set of fake boobs I've experienced, but one of the only sets, not very well done.
Yeah. One of the only sets? So the other ones have been random standalone single boobs?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like his experience. I got like a quick pull on one boob, you know what I mean? I didn't get to surf with them, I guess, but.
So she had fake tits. There was just random, like, awesome,
like
lingerie around her house?
She had a lot of money and didn't seem to do anything. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I met her when I was in college, and, like, I'd go to her apartment, and it'd be, like, nice stuff. And I'm like, so what do you do again? And she's like, oh, waitress. I'm like, no, you don't. I'm like, and high heels. Lots of high heels.
Yeah. That's a tip-off right there.
Yeah, so.
I would be so mad if I was dating a stripper and didn't know it. Like,
it was really weird.
It's like, you're leaving me out.
Right? The weirdest part was a month after we broke up, she called me and she's like, hey, what's going on? I'm like, hey, I haven't talked to you in a month. And she sees, like, hey, I'm stripping out at this place. Why don't you come check it out and come check, you know, second. I said, why would I come pay for something I've already seen? Boom. Click. Last thing I ever heard from her.
That's awesome.
Was that rude, though? I didn't think that, I mean, isn't that just...
That's a good line.
No, she was clearly just trying to get you to come.
Get money from me.
She's trying to get you back, though, too, I think, also. But, oh, you think she was just like...
I think
she was trying to build a new clientele base.
Yeah.
I dated a girl who was an ex-stripper, and I found that out by, like, looking at her shoe collection one day, and I'm like... What the fuck are with these heels?
Yeah.
Like,
platform.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, no,
and she was just like really upfront about it. She's like, oh, well, I strip for a year, you know, like to make money or whatever. I'm like, oh, okay.
Well, put those on. Let's see what you got.
And then I realized that I had seen her there.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And then I had bought my girlfriend at the time a lap dance from her.
It's a close-knit community. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. It's got to be tough to be a stripper in, like, a smaller town.
Yeah.
Because, I mean...
Everyone knows.
And if you quit, you can't really ever get away from it. Like, yeah.
People are like, oh...
I think you can do a
certain extent. See you take your clothes off, and I paid you for it.
Like, you're in the grocery store, some guy walks by and just, you know, oogles the shit out of your ass. Like, I remember that thing. I saw that. That was on my lap.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think they, you know, you don't recognize them as much in public.
You recognize them out in public.
They're clothed. You're like, whatever. It's just another girl.
But their hair and their makeup's not all crazy and everything. Yeah. Okay. So I bet they can get away.
I'm always staring at the girls' eyes at the strip. You guys don't always remember them by their eyes and facial features. I don't know what you guys are doing.
Well, that's I know you're joking, but seriously, like, that's the key to an amazing lap dance is eye contact.
Yeah.
The girl's like,
or extra $5.
I fucking the shit out of you while she's grinding you, then it's completely, that's the entire thing right there.
Yeah. I was actually, I noticed, speaking of eye fucking, the other night it was in Biddeford. We played all these little tiny towns on this tour. And
sorry about your career, Murder by Death.
Yeah.
That one was for Will.
Yeah. So we play all these like small towns.
Yeah.
And there's like a syndrome in small towns, I think, where like the girls like, see, like, they're way more interested in the touring people than, like, in a big city. Like, in a big city, like, they're just like,
you're
what the fuck ever.
Right. Towns.
So, like, I was sitting there in Biddeford, and there were two different girls who were there with boyfriends, but who were just eye-fucking the shit out of me at the merch table. I'm just sitting there looking, every time I look in that direction, like, the girl who's, like, draped by her boyfriend from behind is, like, staring at me, and I'm just like, man, this sucks!
Get this guy out of here!
You don't think that maybe they were just looking at which t-shirt they were gonna have their boyfriend buy from them?
No, it was, like, direct eye contact kind of shit.
Alright.
You know, with, like, little smiles and shit.
So maybe like, I think he's the guy from the podcast. Like,
you filthy bitch.
You filthy. Did you mouth that at him?
Was I should have. That would have been awesome, filthy little bitch.
You just like...
Then her boyfriend, she would have turned... Yeah. That guy just called me a filthy bitch, and he would have come over and tried to fight me.
You just like, lean forward and just tap the sexy times on the sign, you know, like...
Yeah. When he's in the bathroom.
Very classy.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
We'll disappear to the van.
All right, so we're kind of skirting around the whole issue, but I'm assuming that you have not... filled in any shades of the rainbow?
No.
All right, James, are you aware of this ongoing thing for the podcast?
No.
I'll explain it to you. We used to do a bit every single week called The Vicarious Life of Mark Cross, which is Nick's dad.
Okay.
Where I would have people that knew Nick for years and years and years email me embarrassing stories about him, things that he did in college and things like that.
That's fantastic.
And we would do it because as the vicarious life of Mark Cross, because his dad emailed us one time after a story about him going to an S&M party.
Yeah.
And saying that, like, wow, I can always, he's like, I can finally live vicariously through my son. So this has now evolved into a thing where we called his dad one episode. Yeah. We're like, if there's one thing that you want Nick to do that you can live through, and what will it be? And without hesitation, Mark Cross said he's always wanted to have sex with all the different races of women.
Oh, wow.
A sexual rainbow is what he called it. And so we now have a bit called Around the World in 80 Lays.
I have to talk about any time I've had sex with a girl with a different...
How many colors have we colored in here?
You've got a full... I've got you got three. A full Latino now. Two half Latinos.
We decided that, you know,
a full
mix,
Latino. Yeah. Mix. I mean, like a fat Latino, bro. I don't know
what
the colors.
Yeah, we decided that anybody who was biracial, like, only counted for half of their race.
Well,
so I had to get two of them.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So...
But
no,
I got
only if they're half white, it's only half. If they're like Blaxican,
if it's a Blaxican or a Malaysian, then it's double.
Then you get double.
Whoa!
Yeah, so, yeah.
Double down.
Bonus points.
Yeah. So you have
Asian,
Latino,
Hispanic, and white.
And white.
I'm still working on the African American.
Yes. Now, last time that we talked, we had an episode we tried to do, and there was technical difficulties. There were a couple of leads in Fort Wayne.
Right, but okay. I've been gone. So
you've been gone, so...
Yeah, so maybe when I go back next week, we'll see if I can make something happen.
African-American leads?
Yes.
Yeah. Cool.
I've had a couple dates, a couple making outs.
Nice. Right.
So we'll see if I can... If they ever heard this, it would be over.
You think so? You think they'd think it was fine?
Yeah, they'd be totally cool.
I know.
They'd be like, I'm famous now.
Yeah. Well, I'm just going to say that I think that Obama t-shirt was a good investment.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's definitely gotten you in that community.
The Barack you like a hurricane.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Barack you.
that was my idea back in Now nobody would wear that shirt now.
I would. I still support our president.
Yeah, he's our president.
He's our president.
He's back.
Yeah.
People don't seem to like him these days.
It's because they thought he was going to be the fucking miracle worker or some shit like that.
That's true.
Yeah. But anyway, let's not get serious. Ooh. All right, so, James, so what about your own sexual rainbow? And as always, white does not count.
you know, sometimes you look up and there's a double rainbow?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
No, I've definitely, I mean, is it fair... Do you break Asian up into different categories?
Yeah,
or is it simply Asian?
No, you can go.
I probably got two shades of Asian. I've got an African American. I got the white one. Got that one out of the way.
Yeah.
Pretty quick. And Latino. I've got the Latino.
Mm-hmm.
What other shades are there? Where else?
Inuit.
Inuits. No Inuits. Yeah.
Alex Mann apparently had an American.
Native American. He had a Native American. Yeah.
That's impressive.
When that brings up then there's
that's
like
hard.
Middle Easterner. So you could have like.
Yeah.
I've got a. I know I have a Middle Easterner. Yeah. I've got a Hungarian.
Yeah.
That's in there as well.
So
is that
white?
That's whitish.
It's white.
There's many shades of the rainbow. Man.
Yeah.
It's tough to break these in. I mean,
yeah. Because you also have Indian.
Yeah.
You know, Pakistani.
Yeah.
The area. There's a lot of options.
Russian still white, right? That doesn't count.
Yeah. Well, unless they're like the
lots of white women.
The Genghis Khan. Right
in my head,
you know?
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. When I go through it, I'm just like, oh yeah, white.
Yeah.
Something else. White.
Something else.
Wow.
There was my was that my racist moment of the podcast?
How's that pure beer going?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Only I only drink the pure beer. The Stein.
Oh boy.
Yikes.
There it is.
Right. Yeah.
25 minutes in. 25 racism minutes in. Covered.
Nick's racist moment.
Covered.
I feel like we'll probably get a second one out of him when we're done.
He's always baiting me. He's always baiting me.
Yeah. It doesn't take much. By baiting, it's like, let's have a conversation.
Talk.
Let's talk.
Here's a beer. Just talk.
Say something offensive.
Let the ideas in your head out through the mouth.
Shit. So we killed a large animal on the way home. Mm-hmm. We ran. That's not your first deer. We hit a deer on the way back. Is that your first deer?
That was my first actual hit deer. Yeah.
Yeah. The best part is we hit the deer, Nick just goes, we hit a deer. Everyone in the back is like shitty in their pants, about to cry, waking up. We just hit a deer.
I'm really calm about it.
Whatever.
It's fine. That fucking thing's dead.
Yeah. It was pretty the craziest part was that the deer shat all over the side of our van.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We hit it just right there, like, wrapped around it.
Yeah.
I mean, we hit
its head, and the body swung around and hit the side and just
sprayed
a line of shit all the way down the van.
And we had to smell it the whole time we were fixing the bumper. It was like the last fuck you from the deer.
Yeah.
You're going to kill me when you're going to smell my shit for the next 2 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. On the side of the highway, trying to pull the bumper out from...
This is good information to know, because like next time that you just, you know, accidentally shit all over the side of the van. It's like, no, God, we had a deer.
That deer? Oh, God.
No, that's deer, still man. That deer that never came off.
No, we had another one. You guys didn't hear it? We must have just barely clipped him, but he shit all over this.
Must be barely.
Oh, my God, it looks like he ate at the same Mexican restaurant we did.
Crazy.
All right, so we do a lot of tour stories. And how long have you been touring?
I started touring right out in high school. Actually, I started doing Weekend Warriors, but like solid, making a living about 3 years, something like that.
So. And so, do you have like one particular standout story that you'd like to share with us?
I've got a pretty good. I mean, like I said, you guys, I'm sure, all have a million stories as well. It's hard not to get stories while you're out there.
Right. We're like 24 episodes in. We've kind of burned through all of our stories.
Yeah. We have to bring in other. We have to bring in ringers now.
Bring in ringers to tell stories.
Exactly.
I've got one good story from traveling with Ha Ha Tonka, which is pretty good. With Ha Ha Tonka, we travel with this band's from Missouri. They're awesome. Check them out. Mm-hmm. Am I allowed to plug bands?
Yeah, of course.
Oh,
yeah.
Totally.
Death of a Decade, new record. Check them out.
Only Burn
awesome.
Bridges. No positives.
No positives. But we travel with a small one-eyed dog named He-Man. Did you ever meet the Tonka guys?
I've met them, but I did not meet the dog.
Well, it's a small, and the dog is feisty as shit. It's a crazy-ass dog, but... One of my favorite things that this dog did, amongst many stories, is we pull up to a gas station, and the dog knows not to get out of the van. It's very good about that. But every once in a while, it gets out. And this time, the gas station door's open, dog's running out. We're chasing it everywhere, you know, trying to get this dog. And eventually, this old lady, had to be a Lincoln or a Cadillac, I'm just from memory, pulls up with her window down, and she has a small poodle in her lap. And, like, nice day out, old lady, very slowly pulling in. And then from the old lady's perspective, she's pointing, and all of a sudden a one-eyed dog jumps through her window and attacks the poodle on her lap. Like, not like jumps on it like, I want to play. Like, like, literally you see the dog. That's a good leap for a small. It's like a terrier or something, a one-eyed terrier.
Yeah.
And it jumped through the window and attacked her poodle.
Wow.
And, as a tour manager, you have to smooth that over ever so lightly.
Yeah.
No. Don't call animal control.
Yeah. But this one, this is also the one-eyed dog that when I woke up in Cleveland in the back of a VW with a broken ankle and a one-eyed dog named He-Man. Nice. There's a story leading up to that, but it's better if I just say the conclusion.
Sure.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I like that, you know, because if a human loses an eye, they don't have depth perception.
Yeah.
I'm pretty impressed that the dog was able to leap into a moving car with no depth perception.
That is pretty crazy. That is amazing. That,
yeah. Traveling, have you guys traveled with pets before?
I haven't.
No, not in the tour sense, no.
It's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, it really is.
I would think TMing a dog is not easy.
They don't listen very well, to be honest with you. They're like bass players. Just awful, awful things.
BattleBot.
So we're getting ready to move into the second half hour of the show. So we're going to crack our second one here.
Okay.
These are tiny cans of beer. Like, they're tall, but they're skinny. Like, how many ounces is these?
They just feel faster.
Yeah, they're aerodynamic.
Oh, they're only 10.1 fluid ounces. They're not a full 12-ounce beer.
This is some crazy European shit here.
Yeah.
All right.
New Zealand fucking cheating us out of 2 ounces of beer.
I know.
Bastards.
Fucking Kiwis.
Bastards.
Fucking key. There it is. Okay. Hey. He's back.
The second one. All right. The second one. Oh, there's.
Is there, can you really be racist against people from New Zealand?
Sure.
Yeah.
You they just have an indigenous people, friend. You know. Like,
they're not they Aborigines. They're fucking.
Maori. No, they have their own indigenous people, the Maori.
Oh, yeah. That's
they're the ones that like slap their chest and stick their tongue out when they're doing their battle dance or whatever.
I've never seen
them. What?
You guys should travel to Hawaii where they recreate all the different Polynesian tribes. As you're stuffing yourself in your fucking shitty.
At a resort.
At a resort with your shitty. You guys should really get out there.
Experience culture.
Exactly.
Go to sandals. He's about to go to the Bahamas in 2 days.
I go to the Bahamas in 2 days with Matt and Kim.
Nice.
And then I go to Brazil.
And then you go to Brazil.
I'll be there with Will. Who knows this guy? Me and Will in Brazil.
Yeah.
And that's a shade of the rainbow.
Are you guys
planning on coloring in?
Rock,
for sure.
Yeah. Rock the in Brazil, you could get like 10 shades of the rainbow.
I'm excited.
Yeah. Portuguese. There's a lot of.
I may never come back. This may be it.
This could be
the last time anyone even hears my voice.
Glad we finally
got here. You're going to end up married to like the daughter of a like South American drug kingpin.
I'll come back then and party. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you'll bring the party.
I'll bring the party. Yeah, totally.
So you're going to the Bahamas and Brazil.
Yeah.
The Bahamas, are they playing a resort?
We're playing on a boat with Incubus, I
think.
Another band in there that's also hilarious. I can't
think. Is that where Incubus has been this entire time?
They've been on a boat.
They got lost in the Bermuda Triangle.
They've been cruising around on the boat.
They just pull up to places and play now. Yeah. But I'm excited to see Incubus. What's that going to be like?
Yeah.
I wasn't an Incubus fan. I never really...
No.
They have like their pop song drive or whatever, you know, but the one before that, I was like, oh, this is like a very watered down version of Faith No More. Still like, it's at least more interesting than fucking, you know, like, I'm going to use this as
an
example.
Their little brother's band.
And I was going to say Blink 182, which I know you just got off tour with, but I'm just saying that, but I'm just saying like Blink 182, nothing against them, but it's super straightforward.
Oh yeah.
It's like, here's the three chords. Three chords. Exactly. And so, at least when that first, like the, I don't know, something, a song about like a guy catching on fire or whatever was the premise of the song.
Yeah.
But it was like, oh, it's kind of got like a sort of a Faith No More-ish sort of thing.
For what's being put on the radio, I'll take it.
Exactly.
It's like, oh, you know what? I'm probably going to turn off my radio now, but I don't mind if, you know, Chad next to me in his car.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, it's more
Chad.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah, Incubus fans are all named Chad.
I think that's Chad, Stiles, and Tiffany's, man. That's what people are listening to. Them. That's for damn sure.
And then in Brazil, you guys playing a giant
festival, like Black Eyed Peas,
Guns
like,
N' Roses,
Guns
and
like
it's the one
like
show
any,
they play a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like all those bands that like it's yeah, it goes like Guns N' Roses to Black Eyed Peas to like No Doubt to like some weird jazz. I mean, it's like everything, you know. It's like a European festival, you know, you get like those very strange mixes. But I'm pumped. I got a
There'll be
day
like
off.
300,000 people there, or something crazy like that.
But I got a lot. I'm half Brazilian, actually. I am a shade of the rainbow. If you were to fuck me, you'd get half Brazilian. Nick.
I did do a half Brazilian.
Well, you want to make that a full one, man? You got another six-pack out somewhere?
Yeah. We're both staying at the same house tonight.
All right. Let's see where this goes. So you're half Brazilian.
I'm half Brazilian. My mom, actually, that's a crazy story. It's my mom came here on vacation to Denver, Colorado to visit friends.
Mm-hmm.
And was riding a bus, and my dad was on the bus and got a crush on her. She barely spoke English, like walked her home. And then 3 days later, she's like, I go back to Brazil. And he's like, nah, let's just get married. You can stay here. And they got married, and were married like 25 years.
Wow.
Damn.
Dad's a pimp. Dad.
Just,
that's crazy.
Just
right?
Snatching up
well,
Brazilian babes off the bus.
That's one way of looking at it.
That's awesome.
That's one way of looking at it. And the other way is like, why couldn't you get a white girl? Like, what's wrong with your dad?
Nick's supposed to say that.
I know.
Yeah. He took the words out of his mouth.
Damn, you stole my thoughts.
I need to get
a tinfoil hat to keep you out of my brain.
It's just funny because I've been married twice, neither time to a white woman. So
that's true.
That's really more about me.
Okay, good. I'm learning so much today. Oh, so much.
Comedy. It's all just jokes.
It's all just jokes.
Just joking.
Has anyone joked about your mic yet? Your microphone? The one's like the Lance Armstrong mic here. What do you guys think? Just hanging out of
the
ball anytime?
One ball.
That's it. Yeah. It's the one ball, huh?
Yeah.
The little white ball.
Well, and it's also, you can see, it is a white ball, but it's also, if you see on the front, it says blue. So it's also a blue ball.
Okay. Yeah. Shades of the
so it's a blue ball.
Yeah.
Blue ball cast.
It needs to be released.
Sure. So now sexy time Nick is going to
release the blue ball.
Release the microphone.
Yes.
Excellent.
Have you guys done South America in the, like, not in the shade of the rainbow sense, but, like, traveled and played a show?
No.
No.
Mexico? No Mexico? Nothing.
No.
I did do. I did not go a lot of bands into go down Mexico.
There. Yeah, not a lot of bands don't do it, but
yeah, Asobi did a show in Mexico City.
I think it'd be awesome. Mexico's got to be a pretty good party too, right?
I don't think so. As long as you're not on the border getting murdered in the in the drug war.
Yeah, as long as you stay away from Juarez. Like, I don't even stay in El Paso. Like that. Like a lot of bands like stay in El Paso, like routing, like driving from Texas to like California or something.
Terrible, awful place.
Fuck that. I like drive like the extra bit of time to Las Cruces every time because I feel a little more secure 45 minutes from the border.
It is. I was on tour with Langhorne Slim one time, and I don't know. I guess what is. Is El Paso the one that's right across from Juarez?
Yeah.
Like you can see.
Basically
the
same city.
The same city.
Yeah, like the highway, you can, like, the fence is, like, like right off the highway.
No, for whatever reason, we had a night off and we were cutting through on some on our way to somewhere, and we decided to stop there. Worst idea ever. And this is in fucking El Paso.
Did you go to a strip club?
No, we went to a bar.
Because there are a shitload of strip clubs in El Paso.
We just tried to go to a bar.
Oh, yeah.
We tried to go to a bar, and the bartender doesn't believe that Malachi and Paul's licenses are actual licenses because New York had gone to the Flexi right? Uh-huh. And she's like, whatever, this is fucking bullshit or whatever. And we're like, no. And also, like, clearly these guys are in their 30s. Like, what the fuck? And also, look around at this bar. Like, this is what you're going to be fucking, like, it was shady as fuck. It was super fucking shady. So we go to another place where we can actually get drinks. We have a lot of drinks. And, I was confusing this with another border town story, but that was around Canada. Never mind. But for the sake of storytelling, we'll now jump
to North Dakota.
Like Bellingham, Washington.
Oh, yeah.
We'd come back from doing a show in Vancouver, and
you always stay in Bellingham. That's just the thing that you do.
And so, you know, it's like 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. by the time we get there, and, Sean is driving. And because he's really, really wanted to drive. And so, which is always a bad idea. And so we get out at the hotel. And
this is the same guy who Dixie fell asleep
once.
And he just drove.
Drove to Canada.
Okay, I've heard that story. Yeah.
There's a lot
of good stories with these guys.
Instead of going to Chicago, he drove to Detroit or something like that?
No. We were trying to go to Pontiac, Michigan.
Oh, okay.
And he decided to go to Canada instead. He's also the same guy that got on the wrong flight. Instead of flying from San Francisco to Seattle, flew from San Francisco to New York.
That is the most incredible story we've ever heard.
The fact that they let him on.
So, and there was a seat available for him. It's so strange.
Exactly. He is Mr. Magoo, essentially. So we get to this place, and and he's a beautiful human being, and I love him, but he is Mr. Magoo. In Bellingham, like, it's super late. We get there, fucking everybody's tired, we go into the hotel room. I just lay down, like, you know, on the door. I'm like, God damn, fucking kidding me? So I get up and I go to the door, and it's some random dude with no shirt on, and just blue jeans, and I got a beer, and he's like, hey man, your guy's light's on inside your vehicle. And I'm like, oh, it takes a second to turn off or whatever. And he's like, oh, okay, cool. Fucking close the door, lay down. Maybe about 10, 15 minutes later, I'm just starting to get to sleep. I'm like, motherfucker. I get up, and he's the same guy, still no shirt. And he says, hey, I just want to let you know that your light's still on or whatever. I'm like, all right, fuck. So I was thinking maybe it just got turned on or whatever.
Yeah.
I go out there. No, the driver's side door is wide open. A fucking van full of gear and all of our shit. And this fucking not that nice of a hotel in Bellingham, Washington. Yeah. 3 a.m, just like driver's side door completely open. It's like,
well, at least the shirtless dude with the beard didn't steal all your shit.
I know. Yeah, right.
Yeah. Like, Plush just stole everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trust a good man. Trust a shirtless man.
You saying a sketchy bar made me think of this place in Portland, Maine that we just stopped at. We ate a really nice breakfast in Portland, Maine. Have you been to Portland, Maine?
It's been a long time ago.
Breakfast is fantastic.
Yeah, the people in Portland, Maine are fucking insane.
That's crazy stuff, though.
They were just everywhere. But the place we ate breakfast right next to it was this like bar called like Ronnie's Rough House or something like that.
A lot of characters coming out of that bar.
It's like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and me and Bot are standing outside, and we're just watching these people come in and out. Like, a dude walks out of the bar with his eye just, like, totally blown up and, like, just blood coming down his face. And he's just, like, calmly walking out of the bar like nothing had happened.
Another morning at the bar. Yeah.
And so we're standing there and we're just, like, watching and, like, looking at each other and, like, just being like, oh, my God, did you just see that
how
guy?
How did you not go into this bar to see what the fuck was going on then?
Well, this is why. So this dude who was worked at the restaurant we're working at, he's like outside smoking and he sees us looking and he's like, Ronnie's. He just like comes up and starts telling us, he's like, that's the bar where all the crazy people in Portland go when they've been banned from every other bar. And like right after he says that, this girl who was probably a hooker walked up and just sort of like looks at us for a while, and I kind of looked over and made that accidental eye contact, like fuck, and I turned away real fast, but it was too late. And then she just sort of was like, y'all banned? And me and Matt just sort of like stand, like try not to answer, and Scotty was just like, yes. And like she just looked at us again and she goes, cool. And then just walked right into the bar. It was so creepy. Then some girl apparently came up to Adam and like was was hanging on him and was just like, you have to protect me. You have to protect me.
I mean,
followed him into a CVS, like, and just like wouldn't leave him alone for like five minutes.
That's fucking crazy.
Just keep driving. You hit Portland, Maine. Just keep driving.
Holy shit. And just walking everywhere. We're like crazy looking homeless people and shit.
Homeless crazies everywhere.
It was. I've never seen per capita that many insane people.
That sounds like Vancouver, actually.
Because
what's that fucking one club downtown that everybody plays? And it's like right in like Junkie Central.
Media Club?
No, I can't remember. It's I don't know. I don't know.
There's like Brothers on.
Anyway.
Or Williams on Williams or something. I can't remember.
This may have been the same night that he left the door open, but I was there with Langhorne one time and. This older lady, like probably in her 50s or whatever, is coming up and she's asking for money, you know, from Sean and I, and she just starts pissing herself and is completely unaware of it. Like we see it just happening, like the front of her jeans, and we're just both like, oh, what the fuck? I'm like, oh my God. And then like later that night when we were leaving, some other junkie guy comes up and is like, hey, I kept an eye on your van for you and is trying to get money from you. I don't give a fuck. And he's like, what the fuck? And so then we had the thing we called the tool, which was this giant, like it's like a lead pipe that came off of a battleship or something. It was like the craziest, heaviest, biggest thing. So I jumped out of the van with that because he like kicked the van. Yeah. And I'm just like, so I'm like, oh, I'll out crazy you. And like, also I have a
out crazy you.
And you know what? And I'm on my way back to my country. So if I murder you, like I could probably make it to the country and
it's only 30 minutes.
Exactly.
So I'll be back.
I think I'll be fine.
That's a thing in Vancouver. Like the homeless people will come up to you and be like, "Hey, I kept an eye on your shit." It's just I didn't ask you to do that.
Yeah.
Or there's a lot of them that will be like, "Let me help you load."
Yeah.
Like they just hang around. And it's like, no, I don't want you touching my things.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks. You're just gonna grab a guitar and run away.
I think the craziest gal I met was in Toronto. I was with Tonka, and like we always stay at people's places. You know, they're a little short on the old money there. Not a whole lot going on. So we get up there and we're at a bar and like we're like talking about a place to stay. It's a night off, no show. And this girl sitting next to me at this bar is like, you guys need a place to stay? I'll put you up. And like, so we're like, cool. And like, great. And then we start thinking about it. We're like, this girl's like volunteered the place. We're like, okay, she's probably a little weird, whatever. Yeah. So me and the bass player walk back with her and she's kind of telling stories, talking, no big deal. We get to her apartment. It's incredible. It's like $1 million apartment, like boutique. Amazing. We're like, how do you, like, you live here? She's like, yeah, I don't have a job either. And we're like,
what?
Okay. She's like, well, I have someone that takes care of me. Let me just put it like that. And we're like, what do you mean takes care? She's like, I don't want to talk about it. Just someone takes care of me. And we're like, okay, you know, go up. She lives her butt.
Got a sugar daddy. Yeah,
all right. She lives alone. And like, we get up there and like, you know, we have like a bottle of wine with her and we all go to sleep. And she wakes up at 7 a.m. and we'll come out at 7 a.m. and look at me and Luke on the floor, do a dish in the wash and go back to bed. And she did that every hour until like 11 o'clock. She'd do one dish. And so the next day we're like, a little strange, you know? And, Luke goes, can I take a shower? She's like, go ahead, just don't come in my shampoo. Ha, ha, ha. I'm like, a little weirder. I mean, things are progressively getting weirder. Yeah. So she goes in and takes a shower. And while she's taking a shower, she's like, do you want to see some pictures? I'm like, oh, you know, I'd love to. Sure, you know. And she brings out these pictures, and it's naked pictures of her that she took. Mm-hmm. And, like, is sorting through them. I'm like, interesting, you know what I mean? And then she starts going on about a drug problem, shows me a letter from the Canadian Prime Minister about her getting off drugs, asked her to speak it, so I mean, she's just, like, getting crazier.
Yeah.
And she starts to refer to, like, blowjobs and how cum on the face is good for your face and so on. And Luke takes it forever shot, but I'm like, this girl should mean
he's it. Like, he is masturbating.
He's probably, like, probably I'd buy new shampoo. Yeah. But I'm like, this girl's kind of crazy, but she's very cute, hipster gal. Yeah. I'm like, she's telling me all this stuff. Maybe I could, you know, how long is the shower going to take? So I start to, you know, like, kind of scoot in a little bit more. She scoots in. Like, things are kind of going in a direction that I like.
Yeah. You're just like, well, and she's then, showing me naked pictures
of herself.
Yeah,
naked pictures. Cum's good for the face. I happen to have some cum. But eventually, like, you know, she also just pushes away. And Luke comes out of the shower. And then she looks at both of us and goes, our time here is done. And I said, do you want to come to the show still? We can put you on the guest list. Our time is done. And we walked out, and that was it.
Fucking crazy.
We called this day Cokey McSnortnose. Like, she did a lot of blow, apparently. Yeah. I don't know.
That's
Canada. Yeah.
All right. Canada. How did that girl have that apartment? What the fuck is going on?
Maybe she was like a hooker, or like some guy was. It was. We don't know what was going on.
Yeah.
It was
I really want to know more about her.
But our time here is done.
Our time here is done.
And I'm like, that's the last thing I ever heard her say. And like, we packed up. Like, we rolled up sleeping bags in silence while she just stood there. I'm like, oh, bye. And like, no bye. That was it.
Your time there was done.
That was, apparently, that was it. There was a time limit.
There you go. That reminds me, I was on tour with my own like singer-songwritery thing. And I was somewhere in Arkansas. And like, I played, like, this coffee shop, and it was a shitty show or whatever, but, like, cute, kind of, like, hipster girl or whatever was working at the coffee shop, and she was just like, hey, do you need a place to stay, you know, because, like, I know, like, you know, a lot of touring people do, and I'm like, yeah, she's like, okay, my boyfriend and I have, like, a house, you know, and it's maybe, like, 15 minutes away. I'm like, awesome, thank you so much, and she's very funny and very smart and everything, and I hang out, I help her close up the shop, you know, like, I'm, like, picking up chairs while she's sweeping, you know, like, we're just doing this as a team, you know, and we go back to her house. Like, I follow her, and we walk in, and her boyfriend is, like, high as shit. So fucking, he and his buddies are sitting on the couch, and I think they're playing video games or whatever, but they're just so fucking high, and she's like, oh, hey, this is, you know, this guy that played the club, and he's gonna crash here, and he's like, all right, cool, you know. But they're super fucking high. And then I see her like, kind of walk back in the back of the house, and then I just hear her go, what the fuck? And then he's like, oh, yeah, the dog got in the trash. And I'm like, okay, the dog got into it. Well, not only did the dog apparently get in the trash, it also dragged the trash onto their bed and rolled around in the trash. And so their bed is covered in trash. And he was just too high to do anything about it. Apparently.
He's like, duh, yeah, makes sense.
And so she's like, ah! So it's just kind of, it's awkward, it's weird, but, you know, kind of stay up and I just like start pounding whiskey till I can go to sleep. Because these guys are just going to be playing video games. Like,
yeah, you're just going to, you're going to sleep in this chair over here.
Exactly.
While...
yeah. And so... I go to sleep or whatever, and so I wake up in the morning, and I'm, like, getting ready to go, and she comes out. I guess she'd just been showering, and she only has a towel on, and she just starts talking to me. Like, it's a perfectly normal thing to just stand there in a towel and talk to a pretty much a stranger,
yeah.
A random stranger, and she's just talking to me. I'm like, yeah, well, I'm going to be gone, and she just has this look on her face, like, take me with you. Like, I don't want to live with my fucking stoner boyfriend
you.
That wants me to sleep
so
in trash.
So you did, right? You took
no, I did
oh,
not.
Yeah.
I was like, I
should have rescued. You should have rescued her.
You should have grabbed the towel, yanked,
yeah.
And said, maybe.
Maybe.
I might take you. Yeah. It all depends on what happens now.
I think it's time to call Will Pepple.
Yeah. Let's see what he's doing.
Well, let's see if he answers your phone this time. He never answers Matt's phone, but he'll answer mine.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah.
I like
it. We'll be asking him about that.
I don't know where he is. Probably, I don't know where he is. Maybe in New York? No.
He was in Virginia.
He is in Virginia.
Oh, see? It's ringing. Not going to answer my phone call.
Last time we called him, he was taking a shit when he answered the phone.
Yeah.
In Utah.
In Utah.
Yeah. And we got him. But he was taking a shit with his laptop, apparently, because then he started Googling Kate.
No, Will.
This is bullshit that he never answers my phone.
Please leave your message for... 7, 8, 5.
All right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was the old...
Don't post the phone number.
The old posting of the phone number on the blog. Okay.
You should call him.
All right.
Yeah, I mean,
let's try it out.
He might think it's work-related.
Yeah, that's true. All right, let's try it out here. You guys will reimburse me for the minutes, right?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
I
just wanted to...
Yeah, because you have a pay by the minute.
I do. It's an iPhone.
Boost
pay
Mobile.
By the minute iPhone here.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see.
Can you speaker it up?
Yeah, I think it's... This, my phone's on the fritz. We'll see if it works.
It's very exciting. He's going to answer in the first ring for you. Probably.
Yeah. Or we're just going to have like 2 minutes of the podcast of us listening to a phone ring.
Me and Will are going to be in Chicago on Halloween at a hockey game. We're going to get really shit-canned. He has a banana suit costume. Yeah. And I think I'm going to be like the contents of a banana sundae. Like fudge sundae, so I can just hug him at any moment and then make a sundae.
Yeah.
I don't think he's answering.
We may get arrested on Instagram.
Probably.
No Will.
No dice.
No Will. All right.
Boo. Damn it.
All right. Well, we have to fill this last 10 minutes ourselves.
Pebble, you're fired.
God, 10 more minutes.
We only had another. And we're out of.
Do you have any beer in this house?
I have like one Keystone Light in there.
Is that leftover from the podcast the other day?
It's leftover from
our failed podcast.
I don't drink a lot of beer at home. I'm mostly a bourbon guy.
Well, you should probably get it.
We could all do a shot of bourbon.
If you got bourbon, that'd be good.
Yeah, so you guys can fill that.
Do that. Yeah. I was looking at the list of podcasts, and there's just all these, like, the last few have all been Matt and someone else, but we did one, like, 2 weeks ago that there were technical difficulties and couldn't post, so I feel kind of gypped.
like, you do that on purpose.
It's like, my name is in the title of the damn thing, and I'm only on it, like, half the time.
I think he's trying to squeeze you out, man.
I think he's trying to get rid of me.
Slowly...
He's trying to find... He's auditioning replacements. So we'll see. I actually haven't listened to the ones he did with Bot or Alex Mann yet. So maybe they're better than me. Matt, are they better than me?
In a way.
Yeah, pretty much.
Makes sense.
I gotta say the Bot one took a while to get going.
No one can hear you. Matt's yelling from the kitchen where he's getting whiskey for us.
I've got a quick good BattleBot story if you guys don't mind.
Actually, do it.
There was a time where I was
I love BattleBot stories.
Tour managing those guys, and after a show, we like loaded out and hustled in Louisville to get to a J. Roddy Walston in the Business show, kick ass band. Are you guys aware of this?
Oh
place?
Yeah,
of course.
J. Roddy's the shit.
But BattleBot gets BattleBotted, obviously.
Yeah.
Oh, let's do this real quick. This will help the story here.
I'm gonna sip this. We don't have to shoot it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm gonna
sip it too.
But anyway, he gets, I have to drive home, obviously, you've been in the murder by death world, and so I'm playing video games, and my phone's, like, going off, in the middle of the video game, though, it's, like, 3 calls missed, text, and I finally look down, and it's 3 missed calls from BattleBot, and the text just says, need hand, and that's it, and I'm like, what the heck does this mean, and I turn around, and BattleBot is laying on the bar, like, directly behind me, he must have been facing the bartender. Calling me and says, need hand. So
He couldn't get up on his own.
And he couldn't even... need hand. That is it. That is all he could get out. It was the only text. And then I had to carry him to the van. So
that's a new t-shirt.
Actually...
Murder by death. Need hand.
Actually, Matt kind of cock-blocked me on this tour in Halifax.
Big time.
He really did. Like, I think I was in with this cute bartender from the show. Mm-hmm. And we went to a party after the show. Yeah. Like, everybody... And then, you know, this girl had given me the address of another party she wanted me to come to. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, cool, I'm going to go to this, and James is going to take everybody back to the hotel. And of course, Bot's like, I want to stay and party. And I'm like, God damn it, I'm going to have to bring him with me.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch. And so we walk there, and, I mean, he's like already like one eye half closed Bot, you know. Just
searching
like,
for service.
Yeah, he's just like... And we get there, and I start talking. I'm talking to the girl, and like Matt just sort of like comes in and is just like, and he starts babbling about the fucking Cure, like the most stereotypical thing he could start doing. He started doing, and then like
was he talking about the effects pedals that the Cure used?
I don't even know.
It was leading that way. Yeah. I would say, probably.
And then like 10 minutes later, he's like, "I need you to take me back to the hotel," and I'm like.
I was like,
God, I was like, dude, it's like 4 blocks away. We were 4 blocks from the hotel. It's like, you go 2 blocks up and 2 blocks over and you're right there. Yeah. And he's just like, I can't do it alone, Peaches. I can't. And I'm like.
So here's the question. Why didn't you just hustle his ass back and then go back to the party?
It was like 4 a.m.
But it was like almost, it was like 4:30-ish. And like, the girl was like, I got to go home.
Yeah,
and
I'm the just window
like,
was closing.
Yeah, it was just like, over. Like. He didn't remember hardly any of it, of course.
Yeah, that's the BattleBot.
Yeah.
Will just texted me. He says that James and I are hanging out. He left you out. All right. Well, you didn't call him.
Yeah.
He's having family time with his nephew. What up?
We could call. Just ask him if he's available to take a podcast call.
Well, we've only got. Yeah, I guess I'll.
We can go over by a couple minutes for Will. Come on. I will also tell another fun BattleBot moment from the store where.
But I just want to say that all of a sudden, once you like identified that I might have been auditioning him as your replacement, now all the shitty stories of BattleBot are coming out.
Yeah, it's true. Let me tell you this fucking story.
No, I mean, this one's just funny and cute, kind of, actually. Like,
yeah.
We were, you know, seven of us in three hotel rooms, so there was always a three-man room, basically. Mm-hmm. And I like that you were like, because of Matt snoring, you just made sure that you were never in the same room.
I always jog it just right.
But this particular night, it's me, Matt, and Dagan, and Matt comes in, you know, pretty drunk, and he's just like, "I'll take the floor," like, and he just like immediately falls down on the floor and goes to sleep. And so I'm sleeping in the bed. A couple hours later, I wake up and I hear him getting up, and he goes to the bathroom, and he comes out, and he just like starts getting into the bed with me, and I'm like, "Matt, no." And he gets out and he walks out, and I see him like move to Dagan's bed, and I'm like, "Matt, Dagan's over there." And he's like, gets confused.
"Matt, no."
And he turns over and he just gets back into the bed with me and immediately goes for the spoon. And I'm just like, "Son of a bitch." I'm like, "I'll just take the floor." And I just roll off the bed onto like the floor where he had been sleeping. And like, just as I get onto the floor, Matt just goes, "Peaches, get your ass back in this bed." And then falls asleep immediately.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
No, man.
Like, he knew exactly who he was cuddling with.
Yeah, I definitely, like, there was a, back in the early days when Alex was still in the band, there were a couple times where...
Oh, man, he was a spooner.
Well, no, but, like, the snoring. Like, Matt and Alex's snoring was, like, so loud.
You snore
so
like a motherfucking man. I've shared a fucking hotel with her.
If I've drank a lot, I do.
Yeah.
But, Ben bustles the winner, though.
Yeah, but Ben also. But it just, like, these huge, like, it was just like, like, I was like, I can't even be mad. I was just so amazed at how loud it was.
Yeah.
And like, how in sync they were. Just, yeah, boom, 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 boom.
Like, you wonder how any woman could stand sleeping next to them. Yeah. Just, like, right in your ear all night long.
I will say that that was part of the, like, main reason why I just started sleeping in the van.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's my own fucking, like, little world. Like, I don't have, like, it's only me. Like, you know, everybody will check in. I'll go piss or take a shit or whatever I got to do in the bathroom. I'll have a key so I can go into the bathroom. Go into the room to use the bathroom.
Yeah.
But it's like, otherwise, I'm just going to fucking sleep in the van.
You can do that when it's summertime's tough, though. It's a little hot.
A little hot.
Wintertime, it's actually, van's pretty damn comfy.
Exactly, yeah.
You can get a sleeping bag. Just do it.
So you toured with the Langhorne guys for a while.
I did, yeah.
I toured with those guys for like Tonka opened up for them for a week.
Okay.
We met these college kids that had a house in Cape Cod. We played. Have you guys done the venue in Cape Cod?
Mm-mm.
There's one venue on the beach, but I ended up partying with those guys a lot. Like, fun,
yeah.
Like Malachi's awesome.
Yeah. No, they're great time with that. They're amazing guys. And if you were doing it with Tonka, then probably Jeff was in the band.
Yeah,
at that
Jeff.
Yeah.
Jeff and Malachi were like, I had so much fun with those guys.
No, they're great dudes. The original bass
Malachi's
player,
dad too, and like stayed at
Victor.
His house. Victor,
oh, and
like
the
barbecue.
Guest house
it was like, oh, it was awesome.
Yeah, so you did get to do the piss into the toilet while looking at the platinum record for the first Violent Femmes.
Yeah, kind of like, wow.
Yeah, for those of those people listening that don't know, Malachi from Langhorne Slim, his father, Victor, was the drummer for the Violent Femmes.
Yeah.
Lovely, beautiful Midwestern family, Milwaukee
great
to the
guy.
Bone. His family is amazing.
Yeah.
I've actually just gone up there before and hung out with them.
Yeah, they're just
like,
good people.
Yeah,
they're so friendly, like, so welcoming, and like, this is awesome.
Very, very cool, good people. But, all right, so we have a few minutes left. We've talked about the rainbow.
We do we have any events coming up? It's Halloween coming up. What are you going to be for Halloween, Matt?
I'm probably not going to be. I haven't thought of anything. What are you going to be?
I and a couple other dudes are going to be the Hot Cops from Arrested Development.
Hot Cops from Arrested Development.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay.
I'm going to continue my stripping career.
There you go. It's worked out so well for you.
Yeah.
You're going to be the contents of a sundae.
I think
contents
of a banana
split.
And
yeah.
I'm a banana split. I'll
yeah.
plug Will.
Maybe you and Will will split a lady.
Wow.
He likes some big. I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can do that. He likes some...
He does.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
is the thing we know about Will.
Yeah. He, okay.
All right. Yeah, I don't know. I need to think of something, I guess. No, I've been so consumed... you probably don't know this because you've been gone. myself and my wife and her brothers. She has five brothers, and they're all like mechanics and engineers.
You told me about the trebuchet.
Yeah, we're building the trebuchet.
I think that was in the last podcast that got erased by your computer.
Yes, exactly. But yeah, so we're almost to the point where we're ready to start test firing it this weekend.
They're doing like a pumpkin launch.
Pumpkin launch. Dope. So
those are awesome.
Yeah,
it's amazing how far you can shoot a pumpkin.
It is, and it's crazy. Like ours is like this crazy. It's this huge iron fucking thing. It's like it's about 9 feet tall. It has like a 15-foot like base that are all I-beams. Yeah. And so we've just been in the shop welding and.
You've been watching them weld?
Awesome. I've been watching them weld, but I've been doing all the prep stuff, like grinding the steel, which is, as you do.
to get it ready. Everybody likes a little steel grinding.
I was going to like get all boring there, but you got to prep the steel for welding, so you got to get all the shit off of it, so you got to grind it and all that kind of stuff. So I've been doing that, that's been my main Halloween thing, is thinking about throwing pumpkins.
Nice.
So, yeah.
That works.
So, yeah, our first test run is this weekend. We're going to go out into the Green County, out in the fields, throw some shit. We're all like, most of the brothers and I are all kind of, like, already thinking about, what are we going to throw after the contest?
Or like you got to fling other
like
shit.
Like, a TV, an old school TV would fit in here really nicely. Like, in, like, the little, like,
old CRTs. I mean,
chandeliers are fun, man. Anything you can get, yeah.
Yeah, so we might do that, you know.
I have one more quick idea I want to bring up. That me and Will have a project we're working on.
All right.
You are road dudes, so I'm going to run this by you, I guess.
I think I kind of heard you talking about this.
We are currently saving up and looking to purchase an island. And
it's going to be called...
very inside. It's going to be called Hammock Island. And basically, the island is going to be covered in hammocks, and there'll be a thing of footlockers.
It's road crew only.
Can come and... there's a hammock waiting for you on Hammock Island. And so it'll be just a little sanctuary for us road guys. Yeah. A hammock, a footlocker. You can't leave the island until you build something. There'll be trees. We'll have tools. And I just want to extend a warm invitation to future Hammock Island to the both of you. Maybe we'll do a podcast from a hammock
someday.
Yeah, we're gonna have to get some internet lines run out there.
Oh, wow. We're way ahead of you. We're getting there. I've already talked to Comcast.
Or like a cell tower.
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah. Actually, there has to be a cell tower because road crew can't be anywhere where their like phones are not like receiving emails.
But hammocks and footlockers.
You'll go crazy.
Hammocks and footlockers.
Hammock
Island. I love it.
I think that's a good way to end the podcast. this has been episode 24 of Nick and Matt's Infinite Shit List. I'm Matt.
Nick.
Thank you so much to our special guest James Dean.
Thanks for having me.
Will you come back and see us again sometime?
Definitely. I'll be here.
Fill in the rainbow. You guys are going to fill in. You James stop filling in the rainbow. You're doing too well.
You're making us all look bad.
Actually, I'm going to help Nick fill in his rainbow tonight. There's
style. Yeah.
All right.